event is going to be the catalyst for what will be an absolute nightmare for him in the future. Because of this event, his kids are going to be a disaster. His family life is going to be a mess. He's going to ruin not only his family, but Bathsheba's family too. This moment is going to be very, very difficult, and it's going to cause so many problems for him later in life. And what I want us to see is that David was flying high the last time we saw him, right? He didn't mourn over Saul. He wasn't upset about that. But now, here he is, doing things that he shouldn't be doing, and going little off course. Right? Where he should have been is, number one, at war. What he should have been is with his men. What he should have been is a good man. But instead, we find him getting miles away from where he... By the way, notice it doesn't take much. Notice it doesn't take much, because sure, maybe you're going 10 feet, but if you're going 100 miles, the slightest touch of this wheel could take you, almost 100 miles off course. Little by little, you can get miles off course. You see, here it is. Remember, just look at some of the bad choices. We're gonna move this wheel every time we see David make a bad choice. But there's going to be a lot of them, by the way. So number one, he's not at war when he should have been. By the way, the author tells us kings should be at war. There's a reason why the author tells us kings should be at war. He's saying David should have been at war. Next, David sends Joab out to investigate this woman. David gets up, walks on the roof, he sees this woman. Now, the problem is, it's not that David saw. Listen, many of us have been on our computers and have to click off of something we don't want to see. Many of us have been scrolling. What in the world? There have been times on my tab, can you just take care of this on my phone? I do not want to. It'll be like an advertisement for, literally the other day it was an advertisement for yoga pants. And I'm like, I don't know why this is on my phone, but can you exit out of this? I do not want to see this, right? The seeing is not the issue. The issue is that David continued to investigate. I want to know more. I'm intrigued. Let's find out a little bit about her. And by the way, listen, there's some times that we can't control what comes before our eyes, especially in our culture today. And why is it that when there's an awkward moment on a movie, you're always watching it with your parents? Why is that the case? Why is that the case? Did anybody ever have that with you? You're like, oh, let's check out this movie, and there's something in the movie, you're like, oh, this is and your mom is sitting right there, you're like, oh my gosh. It's so awkward. We've all been there. But see, the problem is David doesn't do anything about it. In fact, he keeps going. So they send someone to find out about her, but notice this. This is the problem. The man who David went out to find her says her name is Bathsheba. She's the daughter of Eliam. And she's the what? Wife of Uriah the Hittite, who's in your army. He's one of your bros, dude. And he's like, all the signs are right there. And we're like, oh, surely David's gonna come this way. Right? He has to. Go get her. Bring her to me. I want to have a chat. Right? In David's mind is, Uriah's gone. She's a babezilla. I'm here. All the things are right for me, right? And maybe the problem came from David long ago when he began to take these multiple wives. It was never God's desire for David just to have whatever. Just the sheer amount. God's design for marriage is something beautiful. And man turned it into something of just pure desire and just pure pleasure. And with 300 wives, I think David kind of lost himself in the picture. He saw it. He objectified. I want it. I'll take it. And then the trouble starts. She went back home, the woman conceived, and now we have a problem. Now you see, the issue is is that as David made these decisions, there was never a moment when he came back. That's the issue. The issue is little by little, little things that he did not course correct brought him miles from where he was supposed to be. And now we have a problem. Now we have a scandal. And guess what? It's only going to get worse. Why? Because he never decided to course correct. It breaks my heart that a man of David's character and strength became so weak in that moment because of his lack of desire to change course. How many of us have found ourselves miles away from where we want to be? Little by little, little decisions, little things that we never correct, little things that we never change. We just, little by little, we go off course. And now where we are today is miles away from where we know that God wants us to be. How many of us found ourselves, how many are finding ourselves here today, right? I know what God wants, but I just keep making the bad decisions. I keep doing the things I shouldn't be doing, and we're just getting further and further away from where we're meant to be. The destination's over here, but man, I'm steering over here. So what do we do? What do we do? Maybe you're here tonight and you know what I'm talking. Maybe there's a situation in your life, you know exactly what I'm talking about. For too long, you've been making these decisions. You're going the wrong direction. Well, so like I said, I'm not the smartest preacher in this room. I know that all too well. Having conversations with many of you, you are smart people. I'm just a kid from the eastern side of the state who has hoagies. But sometimes I just make it too simple, and maybe I do, but if you find yourself veering off course, rule number one, the first thing, if you're going the wrong direction, the first thing that you got to do is stop. That's rule number one. By the way, let me get through this. You got to stop. Numbers 32:23 says this. You may be sure that your sin will find you out. If David would have stopped at any moment, if he would have stopped in his tracks, take the hit to his reputation, to stop, things would have been so much better for him. But instead, he chose to keep on going. Your sin will find you out. By the way, that's the word of God. If you find yourself doing the wrong thing, your sin will find you out. It's a matter of time. There is no hiding what you are doing. There is no hiding what God already knows. There's no hiding it. It is always better for you to repent of your sin than to be caught in the midst of your sin. I need to say that again. It is 100 times better for you to repent of your sin, take the hit, come clean about it, than to be caught in your sin. If David would have stopped, he would have taken the hit. Oh my gosh, there's a scandal. He would probably, I don't know what would have happened. He would have had some reconciliation. I don't know what would happen with Uriah and Bathsheba. I'm not exactly sure. But I can tell you it's 100 times better than where this is going. Rule number one about veering off course, rule number one is to what? Stop! You gotta stop! You can't keep going the way you're going. You know where you're supposed to be, and you see where you're headed. The rule number one is you gotta stop! Any moment. What does David decide to do? Let's take a look. So when David sent this word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent him to David, and Uriah came to him, and David asked how Joab was. How the soldiers in the war are going. Then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. David wants to cover it up. I love this awkward conversation. How's Joab? Oh, you doing well? You should go home and wash your feet. And yet David is just another godly man caught in a scandal trying to hide it. How many churches do we know that got hit because of situations like this? A godly man trying to make it work, trying to make it work under the surface, but in reality, the man that you're talking to is the man who is 100% committed to hiding his sin. Churches have been ruined. Legacies have been ruined. Some of you may have even left a church like that because of such reasons. And his reputation is blown. Here's David trying to cover it up. Again, let me say this. Stopping is 100% or 100% times, I don't care what your math is, than continuing in your sin. It may not feel like it. We're so worried about the consequences. What if my wife finds out? What if my boss finds out? What if I tell my mom the truth? What if I don't... I'm going to tell you right now, it is 100 times better for you to come clean and repent before the Lord than for your sin to find you out. Because it will ruin you. And it will take you places you don't want to go. And God is calling you to course correct today and bring you back to where God has called you to be. And all it's going to take for you to, what all God is asking is tonight, is for you to stop going the wrong direction. David could have stopped at any moment. But the problem is we like to think that where we're headed is exactly where I want to be. We lie to ourselves and deceive ourselves to say where that's going, that's going to be better than where I am and where I'm headed. And the reality, God is calling us to repentance and restoration. And in Jesus is restoration. Jesus fixed broken things. He fixes broken things. Marriages, hearts, people. Rule number one, stop. Stop. Why? Why should we stop? Point number one. Not stopping takes you miles away from who you are. Here's this awkward conversation. This is David here. Saying to Joab, I'm going to have a great conversation with Uriah. This is going to be great. David acting like he's Uriah's friend. In reality, he's just someone. He's actually his wife's adulterer. David sends Uriah home. David acting like the good guy. You should really go home, get some rest. It's been a long battle. I'm so glad you're here. I want go home, wash your feet. Your dogs are barking. You should go home, take care of yourself. Like, so, get some Epsom salts, right? It's going to be great, right? Have that. She was have your rubber feet, right? She gives a great foot massage. I hear she gives great foot massages. You see, David's acting like a good guy, but you know what? In reality, he's a scared little boy. That's not the David we know. The David we knew stood up to that. You come against me with the sword and the spear. I come against you in the name of the Lord. The David that we know is the man who took the robe and cut it off and showed it to David. I will not touch the Lord's anointed. The guy that we know stood right up to the man who's lying to him face to face and said, I will not hold a grudge against Saul. That's the David I know. That's the David God knows. And the David here is not the David that we know. He's miles away from who he should be. And you know why? Because he never stopped one moment. He sends Uriah home. But Uriah slept at the entrance of the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. You all know why he wanted Uriah to go to his house, right? We're all on the same page. He's been away from war, wants to see Bathsheba for a little bit. Cover up the pregnancy. You can fill in the blanks. Uriah said to David, the Ark of Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my Lord's men are camped in open country. How could I go to the house and eat and drink and make love to my wife? Surely as you live, I will not do such a thing. And David's like, he's just so darn nice. He's too good of a guy. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it to Uriah, with Uriah. By the way, did you ever notice he gives him his own death sentence? In it, he wrote, put Uriah in the front line, where the fighting is fiercest. Then withdraw from him, so he will be struck down and died. David
kills the man who wouldn't touch Saul,
but he kills a man who is more righteous than he. This is not my David.
This is not the David I know.
David could have stopped. He could have repented. He could have taken the hit. It could have been a public scandal. He could have gotten out of it. He could have went before the Lord.
But he chose not to. Why? Because not stopping in your sin takes you miles away from who you're meant to be. And this is who David is.
God has called you to so much better. And he desires for you to be in a better place.
And not stopping takes you miles away from who you are meant to be. Secondly, not stopping takes you miles away from your imprint on this world. Take a look. Joab said to David, when the archer shot arrows at your servant from the wall, some of the king's men died. Moreover, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead. David told the messenger, say this to Joab. Don't let this upset you. The sword devours one another as well. Press the attack against the city and destroy it. Say this to encourage Joab. I love this. He says, don't worry. Don't let this upset you. C'est la vie. Such is life. It happens. Don't worry about it. It's okay.
Really, David? Such is life. You caused this whole thing. And you're going to tell Joab, hey, it's the way. Don't worry about it. Don't let it bother you. People die all the time.
David had gotten so far off course, he was okay killing a man to cover his indiscretions.
And unfortunately, he's going to be remembered forever for doing it.
This is a quote from a pastor. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost more than you want to pay. Sounds good, right? The man who said this fell in a sin, a very public sin. If I were to say the name, you would know it all too well, but out of respect for that individual, I will choose not to. I can't even look at this quote. It's such a good quote. But the problem is every time I see it, I'm reminded that the individual who said these words didn't mean a single word of it.
His legacy is tarnished now.
I'm tarnished now. And I have to keep the memory that this is just another individual that went down in the history of the church as being a man who fell as a result of sin. Why? Because he was unwilling to stop. Unwilling to course correct. There is no more powerful testimony from a man who has repented and been redeemed by God. There is nothing more powerful.
There's nothing more stronger than someone who's willing to say, I'm going to stop this today. No more. I'm done with this. I'm through with this. I'm going to stop, and I'm turning back to God today. There is nothing more powerful than a testimony of someone who has been redeemed by God
than a man whose legacy is tarnished, or a woman whose legacy is tarnished, by continuing actively in their sin. Why? Because not stopping will take you away from who you're meant to be and your imprint on this world, your legacy. How many people do we know? We don't go to that church because that guy. Oh, every time I hear that guy's name, oh yeah, he got in trouble. God has so much more in store for you and your legacy on this world, and all it's going to take is for you to stop
and course correct.
And lastly, not stopping takes you miles away from your God. Look at the last verse there. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. By the way, do you know the only time that the Lord is mentioned in 2 Samuel 11? It's right there. It's the last sentence of the chapter. God is only mentioned once in the entire 26 verses of this entire chapter, and it's only when David began to hide that the Lord found David out. Like, how many times did we hear David talk about God when he was being chased by Saul? I will not touch the Lord's anointed. I won't do it. How dare you touch the Lord's anointed? How many times when David is there with the ark, and he's praising God with all his might, with all his heart.
How many times do we see David stand up to Goliath and mention the name of God? Who do you think you uncircumcised Philistine? Do you even know who my God is? And the sling and the stone, he went down every single time. But here, David, in his worst sin, God is not even in the picture. He's an afterthought. And it's not until the very end of the chapter that God is in even the book. Why? Because not stopping took David away from his very real and powerful God. The real problem with veering off course, it takes you away from your most precious relationship. God is going to speak, and we're going to hear God speak tomorrow. Well, here. And he's going to say, David, if you would have asked me, I would have given you more. I gave you Saul's wives. I gave you all of Israel. I gave you a crown. And if it had not been enough, I would have given you even more. See, all David had to do was go before God, and he didn't do it. Because he's running from where he's supposed to be, because he's 1,000 miles off course. And rather than going back to God and being like, I need you, he leaves him out of the picture. He's not even part of the conversation. And therefore, he's not even part of the solution. And God is going to take it upon himself to come before David. You see, the real problem with veering off course and staying in your sin is taking you miles away from your most precious relationship, and that is of you and your Savior. And Jesus is desiring for you to come back. Desiring for you to be forgiven. Desired for you to be redeemed. The God who gave you his Son can be so easily pushed away. You will never find a love like God. Ever. Nowhere else. No history book, no religious book, no other religion. There is nothing like the love of our God found in the person of Jesus. And yet David didn't even consult him once. We believe that this God can restore marriages. He can end addictions. He can change your mind and change your heart. He can bring back that relationship. He can bring you to a place of restoration here today out of brokenness. That's the God we serve. And the first thing that we have to do is come back to him. But instead, we're okay going. I mean, think about this. We serve a God that no matter how far off course we go, he is always willing to bring you back. No matter if we're supposed to be all the way over here and we are miles away. I mean, Jesus preached a parable on it. This guy's in the midst of mud eating the pods that he desired to eat, the pig's food. And yet the father is standing there looking on the horizon, longing for his son. No matter how far you've gone, you know what the first thing that kid does? The first son, what does he do? He says, why am I doing what I'm doing when my father has all this food back at home? If I just go back to him, maybe I could just be a servant in his house. And what does he get? The fatted calf, the ring, the you name it. He gets everything. And the father's embrace is so amazing. That's the love of the father. David said, I don't want it. What I have is so much better. And he was so wrong. This love of the Father can be so easily pushed away. And so let me end with this. If you find yourself here, I'm going to worship team. I think you might want to see if you guys can play or do what you can do. So you might want to come up so we can get that going. So we're going to do some steering here today. So the first rule about getting back on course is to what?
Stop.
To stop. And not stopping takes you miles away from who you're meant to be. Not stopping takes you miles away from what the legacy is that you're supposed to. Think about this. The legacy that you want to give to your children, the next generation. Passing that you were a godly man, a woman, a godly man and woman after his own heart, that God desires that for you. And so that can be tarnished. And lastly, you got me? And lastly, it takes you miles away from your most precious relationship. And in order to come back, by the way, you can take that knot out of any of those points. Stopping brings you closer to who God's called you to be. Stopping brings you closer to who God desires for you to be in this world. And stopping brings you closer to Him. If there is something that you are wrestling with today, where this means something to you, you're like, I know exactly what that is. I know exactly that I'm going the wrong direction. I know what I keep struggling with. I know. And today's the day where I want to begin to make a course correction, a course change. Do not walk out these doors. And listen, I get it. If I ever tell somebody that, my reputation is over. If I come clean about that, then this might happen. And you know what? You are exactly right. But this here is a place where God wants to do a work tonight in your life. Because you know what? Not stopping is taking you further away. But yet stopping is 100 times better than being caught in your sin. Because now God can do a restorative work in your heart. And this is a safe place tonight. This is a safe place. Your church board members aren't here. This is a place that you can come and go before God and be redeemed. And all it's going to take is for you to do this. Stop. I'm going to stop today. I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop saying this. I'm going to stop watching that. I'm going to stop doing this activity. I'm going to change my life and change my course. And the first thing I'm going to do is stop. And as we end this service tonight, this is a place for you to do some work with God. As I've said a couple of nights ago, this is a holy place. The Holy Spirit here and wants to begin to do a work in you tonight for you to stop. And if that's you, then use this time as a holy moment between you and God. Because He wants to begin to do a restorative work. No matter how big the hit, no matter how horrible it might be, God wants to do the work tonight. And don't let this moment pass by. If He's spoken to your heart tonight. David missed it. You don't have to. Go ahead. It's hard to see. You probably want to get out of here before it's dark. But if God has spoken to you tonight, this is a chance for you to get freedom. It is extended to you. It is here. Or you can walk out those doors and continue to keep going the way you're going, and you are going so far off to where God wants you to be, but yet God is calling to your heart tonight. If there is a decision or something that needs to happen to bring you back, if you need to stop tonight, then use this time. This is God's place and space who wants to do a work here tonight. And pushing through and running out those doors is not the answer. It didn't work for David, and unfortunately it's not going to work for you. And so if God is calling and speaking to you tonight, use this time. Use this place and the space and the power of the Holy Spirit who wants to bring you to a place where He can restore you, can redeem you, and renew you. Don't leave. Don't leave if God is calling you tonight. Talk to your friend. Talk to a pastor. Come up here and most importantly, talk to God. But don't leave. Until you are 100% sure that I can walk out those doors, go in the right direction. You are dismissed when you're ready.